Praise you, Lord. Lord, we just love you this morning. Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, for just the joy of serving you, Lord God. You said to serve you with gladness, Lord God. And Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for the joy of knowing you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for the mighty Holy Ghost being here this morning, revealing your word to us, Lord God, and bringing change in people's lives, Lord God, because it's only you, Lord God, that can bring change. And I thank you, Lord God, we open our hearts to your word this morning. Minister to each one of us this morning. Lord, bring revelation to us, bring understanding to us, Lord God, and bring change to each one of our lives. We praise you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, praise God. Amen. I want to continue talking along the lines of what I was sharing on the last time. I was talking the last time on keys on finishing the race or the course that God has for your life. And you know what? We want to finish. Amen. We don't want to just be people who start. We want to be people that start and live this life and do what it is God's called us to do. Now, just again, let me just make it clear right from word go. You don't have to run a race to get to heaven. You just need Jesus to get to heaven. Amen. Amen. You just make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. You have to put faith in what He done for you. Amen. You acknowledge that you need Him. You acknowledge that we, just as Billy was sharing this morning, that we fell short of the glory of God, all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then you receive the free gift of righteousness. Yeah. Amen. And you are saved, born again. And once you have Jesus, you have eternal life. Amen. But we want our lives to count. Amen. Now, when you're saved, God has a purpose for your life. God has a destiny for your life. And it's different for each individual. You know, and you need to know what it is God has for your life. You don't have to freak out about that. Just the Bible teaches us to delight ourselves in the Lord, and He'll give us the desires of our heart. And if you just walk with Him and spend time with Him, and you know, and just do that, just do it as a lifestyle, let me tell you, you won't miss what God has for your life. Amen. Because He'll reveal it to you. He'll show it to you. Just pray, ask Him to show you what it is He has for your life. And you know what? Through time, He'll start unveiling that to you. Sometimes He can show you something major. Sometimes it can be small steps. But here's the reality of it. If it's something big or something small, just keep walking every step with Him. Because you need Him to finish what it is God has for you. Amen. I was saying the last time, I hate not finishing anything. And I was sharing about a painting that I started whenever I was, what, about 16, 17, maybe 17 years of age, in around that, 17, 18 years of age. And I'd done this picture of Bruce Lee painting. I used to do art in school and stuff. And I'd started this painting, this acrylic painting, and I never finished it. And it's been in the back of my head for years. And when I was getting ready for this message, God brought it up again, reminded me, I shared it with His the last time. I haven't finished it yet. But praise God, I went and I found it. And I took it out and it's sitting up in my office. And as soon as I get a chance of a bit, I've had a busy few weeks. As soon as I get a chance, I'm going to finish that thing off. I've the good part of it done, of the whole face and everything done. I just never done the rest. But you know what? It's going to get finished. You know why? Because things are designed to be finished. Amen. And you know what? You need Jesus to finish what it is God has for your life. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the beginning of the thing in your life, and He is the one who will bring you to the finish. Yeah. And you need Him to finish. You cannot finish what God has for your life without Jesus. Period. Human effort won't do it. Gritting your teeth won't do it. Amen. Now, I'm going to look at something a bit today to help us in finishing the race that God has for our life. And that is the grace of God. Amen. You will not finish what God has for you without an understanding of the grace of God. Many people understand grace for salvation, but they don't understand grace for living. And you need living grace as well. So you needed grace to save you. You couldn't save yourself. Amen. But you also need grace for the call of God upon your life. You need grace for the race. Yeah. Amen. And you have to learn how to receive the grace of God. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, let me just look here for a second. Praise God. 2 Timothy is all about finishing. It's Paul's last words. And I know Paul said, I finished. Amen. And he's teaching how to finish. And there's so many keys in 2 Timothy to finish in the race that God has for your life. And I'm not going to go through them all. You just read the book. I'm telling you, it's loaded with keys to doing what it is God's called you to do. Here's one here, 2 Timothy 2, and this is what Paul said to Timothy. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others." Do you know what? That's how things are meant to work. Paul's teaching Timothy. Timothy, you teach it to faithful people, and then they're going to be able to teach others. That's how things get spread. Amen. And you know what? Paul had a deep revelation of the grace of God. And Paul understood the grace of God. And Paul's saying, Timothy, if you want to do what it is God's called you to do, if you want to be able to outlast everything that comes against you, you have to have a strong revelation of the grace of God. You have to be strong in grace. Amen. I'm telling you, grace is something you need a revelation of. You know, I understood grace. I taught grace. I taught grace in Bible school settings and everything. But there was things I was missing in it. I had a good understanding of it. But I tell you, a good number of years ago now, I got a strong revelation on grace, and it changed my life as a Christian. It stopped me living out of performance. And it caused me to live out of His grace. And it changed absolutely everything. It freed me as a Christian. It freed me from performance. It freed me from living based on my goodness to where I started living on His goodness. Amen. Amen. Everything changed whenever I started to understand the grace of God in a deeper manner. And if you're going to do what God's called you to do, you have to understand grace. You know, it's like, you know, when you're driving, you know, you become aware of your setting, your surroundings. And because you're going places, you want to get to your destination. And I'm telling you, if you want to get to your destination in God, you have to be fully aware, be surrounded by the grace of God. You have to know the grace of God. You have to live in the grace of God. You need to be planted in the grace of God. Everything about your life, you need to know that it's rooted in the grace of God for your life. Yeah. Amen. Sometimes as Christians, we have this understanding, or, you know, I've heard it over the years with people, they have this understanding of grace. It just struggle on through. You ever heard, "There go I, but by the grace of God." Some people think the grace is God patting you in the head going, "There, there." That's their understanding of grace. "I know you're going through things, there, there, just suffer on through." That's not grace. Grace is God's empowerment on your life. Grace is God depositing into your life, enabling you to do what you can't naturally do, so that you can't take the credit. All the credit goes to Him. When Paul prayed that time three times and asked God to take away what he was facing, some people think God didn't answer his prayer. God just said, "There, there." No, God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." In other words, we live in a real world. We live in a world that has problems. We live in a world that has persecution, affliction, those kind of things. And for you to make it in this world, you need to have the grace of God in your life. And God wasn't saying to Paul, "There, there." God was saying to Paul, "My grace is enough for you. All you need is my grace. My grace will enable you to finish. My grace will cause you not to give up. My grace will cause you to keep praising. My grace will keep you going forward, because my grace is bigger than the problem." Amen. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Whatever you face, grace is bigger. And when you have God's grace upon your life, God's grace is bigger on you than what you're going through. And so if you face things, God's grace is bigger and will bring you out the other side, and you will give God all the glory. God didn't say to Paul, you know what, I'm not answering your prayer. Just suffer on through by the grace of God there. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. Everything you need is in my grace to get you from here to the end. No matter what the devil throws against you, my grace is bigger. Amen. That's what God told him. Some people teach, you know, based on those portions of scriptures that, you know, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And God was saying, just, you know what, by the grace of God, just deal with that eye condition. Just deal with that sickness. How many have ever heard that Paul's thorn in the flesh was sickness and disease? Yeah? Paul's thorn in the flesh is not sickness and disease. Paul's thorn in the flesh was a messenger sent from Satan, the Bible says, simply to buffet him. Buffet means slap you about. And then, you know, everywhere Paul went preaching the gospel, he either had a revival or a rat. Okay? Or both. Okay? And everywhere he went, he was attacked. He was harassed. He was beat. You know, and you just read through the book of Acts and you'll see Paul's life. It was like Indiana Jones. He faced trouble, pressure from every side. Paul even said himself that I was knocked down, but I was not knocked out. Yeah. Amen. He faced pressure from every angle. Yeah? He was buffeted. Now, if you look in the Bible, when the Bible talks about a thorn in the side or a prick in the eye, in the Old Testament, you know, many know you let the Bible interpret itself.
Yeah.
Okay? Anytime you look it up, just go and look it up. You can do word searches very easy on your phone or anything now. Look up thorns in your side, pricks in your eye in the Bible, and you'll find out that it was the enemies of God. Yeah. You'll find out that there were thorns in their side. Have you ever had anybody that's a thorn in your side? That's what it's talking about. It wasn't talking about sickness and disease. It was talking about persecution coming against Paul. And how many know all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution? In other words, we'll all face things. If you stand up for Jesus, the moment you stand up and say, I believe in Jesus, you're going to get criticism. You're going to get people who will have an opinion on you for just saying you're a follower of Jesus. And you can't avoid that. But here's the thing, God's grace will make you bigger on the inside than anything that's coming against you on the outside. Amen? And that's why the Bible then goes on there to say in Corinthians, it says, let the weak say, I am. See, you become strong in God's grace. And as a believer, if you're going to do what it is God's called you to do, you have to be strong in the grace of God. Now, what is grace? Grace, by definition, is unmerited favor.
Amen.
That's what it is. It is the favor of God upon your life that you do not do anything to get it, to merit it, to earn it. It is freely given to you. And you have to have a freely given mindset if you're going to do what it is God's called you to do. Because the moment you start thinking you have to earn from God, you are in trouble. You're back in a place of works. And if you live in works, you'll never do what it is God's called you to do. Let me tell you, God is not blessing you because of how good you are. He's blessing you because you're in Christ. Any goodness in your life is not because of any merit on your behalf, anything that you have done. It's not because you pray so long. It's not because you go to church. Amen? That's not why God is doing great things in your life. God does great things in your life because of Jesus. But here's the thing, if you don't go to church, you'll not find out about the goodness of God and the grace of God. So I don't go to church to get a brownie point with God. I go to church to learn, to get information, to get revelation.
Yeah.
It was like Billy was sharing this morning from 2 Peter chapter 1. Grace and peace is what? Multiplied unto you. How? Through knowledge. If you don't have knowledge of God's grace, you can't tap into it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
You can't. Knowledge opens the door for you to live a life of grace. Knowledge is released to you through revelation knowledge. That's why when you go to church, don't go to church to impress anybody. Don't go to church to impress God. Don't go to church because, you know what, I have a chart at home and I don't want to have any absentees on it. When you fall in love with Jesus, you won't need a chart on the wall to go to church. You just want to be around the things of God. You love Him. You want to learn from Him. You want to sit at His feet. You want Him to pour into your life.
Yeah.
You see, if you go to church based on, you know, a chart or something like that, you fall into works and you're there for the approval of people. But I'm telling you, when you find out it's all by the grace of God, you go to church and you just want to learn. That's why there's so much freedom in grace. It's not a freedom to sin. It's a freedom to serve God without bondage, without chains, without the shackles of man.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I haven't went to church in years because of legalism. I go to church because I love God. People say, oh, you probably don't go too often. My whole life revolves around church.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's not a struggle. Do you know why? Because I'm not doing it under law. I'm doing it under grace.
Yeah.
Amen. When you do it under grace, it'll change your life forever.
Yeah.
Let me say this here as well. On the fact that grace is the unmerited favor of God. Right? Do you see, whenever I was younger, I was a nuisance, okay? My teenage years, I'm telling you what, I was a nuisance, okay? And I can remember my brother was going out with this girl, right? I never seen anything like it in my life. He changed, his whole personality changed, everything changed. He started putting wee teddies and all to say to the bed that she was buying him and stuff like this, and I was slagging him nonstop. Well, one day we were fighting and messing. And I, the old tubs of gel that you used to get years ago, like in Superdrug or something like that, on a big, well, we were messing and I smashed the thing of gel on his back, okay? And all the gel went over all his teddy bears that the girlfriend had bought him, all right? Well, he gave me the beating of my life. He beat me, he started in our bedroom, it worked its way out onto the landing. I ran into my mom and dad's bedroom. Nobody's in the house, just us. Well, he beat me on the bed until I fell on the floor. And I was lying on the floor whenever he left. Okay? Let me tell you what that's called. That is called a deserved beating. Okay? I got that day what I deserved. Okay? Now, there's been a lot of people who have got an undeserved beating over the years as well. Do you know what an undeserved beating is? You didn't do anything to get it. You just got it. Blow after blow after blow. Well, I'm telling you, when you understand the grace of God, you get goodness you don't deserve. You did nothing to deserve it, to earn it, to murder it, but blow after blow after blow, God's coming at you with His goodness. And it is not based on anything that you've done to get it. It is based on what Jesus done for you, and you receive it freely by His grace. That is what you call undeserved grace. Amen? Unmerited favor. Not favor you deserve. The problem is, many times as Christians, we're trying to receive from God based on our merit. And notice where we're looking. We're looking at ourselves. Grace doesn't look at self. Grace looks at Jesus. Before I really truly got a deep understanding of grace, I always describe it this way. The spotlight was on me. And when the spotlight's on you, all of your flaws are shown. Every one of us are full of flaws. None of us are perfect. When the spotlight is on you, what shows up is your flaws. But when the spotlight is on Jesus, you see Him for all He is. And there's something about seeing Jesus giving you grace freely that sucks you in like a moth to a flame.
Amen.
And causes you to be drawn into His goodness. And I can't explain that. Do you see, under the law, it's based on your goodness, but under the new covenant, it's based on the goodness of God.
Amen.
And you can't explain that. Let me tell you, grace will mess you up in a good way.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Grace will cause you to fall head over heels in love with Jesus.
Yeah.
Grace will make you so aware of Jesus. that He is all you see. You don't talk about yourself, you talk about Him. Amen. Praise God. That's why, like, even in the epistles, I seen this years ago in the epistles. If you look at the beginning of the epistles and you look at the end of the epistles, they start in grace and they finish in grace. Grace from our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let you know, you can't get it anywhere else. God is the provider of grace. Okay? Then at the end of the epistle, it always says, grace be with you. Do you know why? Because you need grace for everything that is in between. Amen. That's why you start in grace and you finish in grace. The Bible says, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him. How did you receive Him? By grace. Through faith. Not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That's how you start. That's how you live your whole life. Everything. I need peace. I receive it. By the grace of God, through faith, that not of myself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen? That's how you live. That's how you live. Provision. I receive it by faith, based on the grace of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen? Jesus, you get all the praise, you get all the glory. That's why Paul was able to say, I am what I am by the grace of God. Do you know, Paul, as a Pharisee, knew the Bible inside out. And he did his best to keep it. And the Bible says that he was blameless in the law, which meant you couldn't have found a fault in him. But many know everybody has flaws and faults. Paul was a sinner in need of a Savior. And on the road to Damascus, Paul ran into the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And instead of getting what he deserved, because I'm telling you, he deserved for everything that he was doing, persecuting the church, he deserved to be wiped out at that moment. But instead of being wiped out, he got a call. He got saved and got a call and spent the rest of his life, a man knowing what he deserved, didn't get what he deserved, he got grace. And he spent the rest of his life doing what he did by the grace of God. Amen? Praise God. Let me just call a couple of things out about grace here for a moment. Because, you know, many know there's a difference between the law and grace.
Yeah.
And it's not small, it's major.
Yeah.
Like, the Bible says the law was given by who? Moses. But grace and truth came by who?
Jesus
Christ. Okay? And there's a major difference. Let me just bring out a couple of contrasts here just for a moment. You know, as the Bible says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You know, the law says of Moses, Moses was a servant in God's house. Jesus was what? A son. How many know we're sons?
Amen.
Amen. Let me say this here. You can talk about the law and never mention Jesus. Do you know why? Because the law is all about what you do. Okay? But you cannot talk about grace without mentioning Jesus. Because the law is all about you, or the grace is all about Jesus. The law puts the focus on you. Grace puts the focus on Jesus. The law is all about what you do. Grace is all about what Jesus has already done for you. Amen. The law is a system of works. Grace is a system of faith.
Yeah.
The law is based on your merit. Grace is based on unmerited favor.
Yeah.
Under the law, you have to keep it perfectly, or else you're disqualified. Under grace, let me tell you, Jesus kept the law perfectly for you. And Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness for everyone who believes. Amen. Under the law, sin has dominion over you. Under grace, you have dominion over sin. The Bible says the law kills, but the Spirit gives what?
Life.
That's why anytime you come under law, what happens is you feel that guilt and condemnation come on you heavy. But when you come under grace, I'm telling you, there's no burden there. Amen? The law is an administration of condemnation, bringing guilt, but grace is an administration of righteousness, bringing no condemnation. The law condemns the best man, but grace saves the worst man. Amen. The rich young ruler, Jesus told him, you missed it in one point. But if you miss it in one point, you're guilty of all. Amen. Yet, grace saves the worst person. Yeah. Paul was called the chief of sinners. The law demands from you, grace supplies to you. The law demands righteousness from spiritually bankrupt people. But grace supplies righteousness to spiritually bankrupt people. The law brings bondage, grace and truth sets you free. The law strengthens sin, the Bible says, because it lets you know you can't get free in yourself. But grace removes sin's grip. The law reminds you of sin. Grace reminds you that you are forgiven and that your sins and iniquities he will remember no more. Amen. Under the law, you do, you live, but under grace, Christ lives through you. Amen. In and through you. Under the law, there are many sacrifices that could never take away sin. Under grace, there is one sacrifice for sin forever.
Amen.
And you know what? The thing that I love about grace more than anything is it puts the attention on Jesus.
Yeah.
That's how you know if you're one of the ways you know when you're under grace. Are you falling more in love with him, or do you feel that you are still in the rat race of trying to get his approval? Are you falling more and more in love with him every day? Under the law doesn't bend. It doesn't bend. It tells you straight. I'm telling you, if you've ever been, like I was brought up very strict, with strict legalistic Christianity. I was brought up under that. There was no bend. And it's not that you bend God's word. But you see, the law just demands perfection from you, and it doesn't give you room to grow. No mercy, you're not growing. Because the law just demands perfection. Why? Because it is the perfect standard of God. But the law was never given for us to keep it per se. God wants us to live a set apart life, but the law was given to show you your need of a Savior. Because you were never going to be good enough to keep the law. So no matter how many rules were put on me, I couldn't keep them. Because it was impossible. But you know what? When you get saved, you're still not perfect. Okay? You're perfect in your spirit, but you're not in your mind, and you're not out here in life. And if you come under law as a Christian, it'll bring you straight into condemnation, because you'll just live in that place no matter how hard I try. I just can't do it. It's a recipe for disaster. It's a recipe for frustration. How many have ever felt that frustration as a Christian of trying to be good enough and you know you're still not good enough? Many have missed it as a Christian. Or you all seem very holy in here this morning. Yous are all looking at me like as if I'm the only one who needs grace. No, I'm saying, I don't have a clue what he's talking about. Grace, I'm doing fine. How many of you need grace? Yeah. Every single one of us. Don't be giving me that holier than thou look this morning. But I'm telling you, grace doesn't compromise God's holiness. Grace doesn't say, oh, there you go and live in sin. No, what grace does is grace helps you.
Yeah.
Grace gives you room to grow. You don't change by just somebody just telling you, don't do this and don't do that and don't do this and don't do that. That doesn't change it. And if any of us have ever lived underneath that, it's frustration. You grow under grace.
Yeah.
And grace is not demanding that you have all your ducks in a row, or else, you know what, God's not going to be good to you. Grace gives you room to grow. How many have ever been set free in an area? Has any has ever struggled with an area, but you don't struggle with it today, but you did? It really had a grip in your life as a Christian. Any has ever tried to get free from some things? It could have been something you were watching, something you were reading, something you were doing, attitudes, and you're trying to get free from them in yourself, and you've done your best in yourself to try and get free, and you could not get free. Is anybody honest enough to tell me that in here? Maybe you're still struggling with things. But you know, here's the key. Stay under grace. Stay under grace. Because grace is the very thing that sets you free. Learn how to be a good receiver. Grace people receive. God, I receive help in that area. God, show me. Bring revelation to me. Bring understanding to me. Lord, I pray the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I get a revelation. Lord, what is it that I need to be free from that arena? You need grace. Everything in this covenant that we are in is by the grace of God. In the old covenant, it was based on your performance. In the new covenant, it's based on His grace. And every Christian needs the grace of God. Amen. Amen? People will teach grace to the unsaved. Doesn't matter what you've done, just come as you are. Then you get saved. Well, the tune changes. No, it's God won't move in your life because your hair's a certain length, your skirt's a certain length. You know, a Christian and you're were not a Christian, you're listening to that. You've just been given a million rules. For a week of your life, it was all about Jesus. And now it's all about you. Here's the thing that a lot of people don't realize. When you got saved, you got the Holy Ghost moved then. When you got saved, you got a new nature. And that new nature wants to serve God. And I'm telling you, when you stay underneath grace and walk with God and allow the Holy Ghost to minister to you, He can change you in different areas. He can set you free under grace. Amen? God can teach you. God can show you things. Oh, God is good. Amen. In Galatians 1 and verse 6, the Bible lets us know there, I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ. You've been called into grace. You're to be strong in grace. You've been called into grace. Do you ever watch these films and, you know, person, the murderer on the loose, and someone will say, stay here, do not move. And they go off. And what do? They go out there and get killed. Do you know why? Because they didn't stay in their place. Do you know where we've been called into? Into grace. As long as you stay in grace, praise God, you're in the right place. Be strong in grace. Stay in grace. Amen. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2. Well, in verse 2 it tells us, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Stand in grace. There's a difference between standing on something and in it. Like, you can stand on concrete, but there's something different when you're buried in it. Because it is all around you. It's pushing you from every angle. It is all over you. And I'm telling you, as a believer, you need to be strong in grace. That means get into it. Stop living based on your goodness. Stop living based on your performance. Get your eyes on Jesus. Get the torch off of you. Get the torch on Jesus. I can promise you, if you look on to Jesus, you see what you look at, you become like. Amen. If you look at yourself, all you see is your problems. You get so discouraged. If you look at Jesus, there's something in Jesus that pulls change out of you. You become who you look at. You become who you hang about with. Do you ever tell your kids over the years, I don't want you hanging about with that person. I don't want you going with them. Do you know why? Because, you know what, show me your company, I'll show you what you're like. Yeah. because they have an impact on your life, okay? Let me tell you, if you focus on Jesus and hang with Jesus, who do you think you're going to become like? Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Grace is all about Jesus.
Yeah.
I just want to call out a couple of things this morning. I could spend more time looking at stuff like that in the grace, but yous are all holier than me. You seem to have it all together. I ain't going to stick with grace. Man, I'm only joking. But you know, you look at people in the Bible who needed the grace of God, who didn't deserve it. Look at the woman with the issue of blood.
Yeah.
Do you know what? If she would have got what she deserved that day, she would have been stoned to death. Do you know why? She had an uncleanness in her body. She wasn't meant to be in a crowd. She was not meant to be there. But she heard that. The Bible says she heard of Jesus. She heard about how good he is. I always say she heard how ridiculously good Jesus is. And she came in the press. And she received from him. She didn't get what she deserved that day. She got grace. And many think it changed their life. Amen? What about the sinner woman? The Bible talks about a sinner woman, and she came into Simon the Pharisee's house. And she came at Jesus' feet. And she broke up precious ointment. And she anointed him. And she cried over Jesus. Do you know why? Jesus was so precious to her. Here is a sinner woman. Imagine having that label on your life. A sinner. That's what you're known as. Who knows what she was up to? Who knows what she'd done in her life? But she found a person who did not give her what she deserved, but give her grace. And it didn't cause her to go and live in sin. It caused her to pour the most precious thing that she had onto Jesus. Do you know why? Because Jesus was more valuable to her than anything that she owned. That's what grace will do to you. Grace will make you fall in love with Jesus. Because I tell you, there is no one like him. Amen? What about Peter? Peter out all night fishing, getting absolutely nothing. And then he acted on Jesus' word. And I'm telling you, God showed so much goodness towards Peter that Peter fell before Jesus and said, "Depart from me. I'm a sinful man." I'm telling you, God's grace. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
It'll mess you up. Depart from me. You're not meant to be around someone like me. Grace will just invade your space. Our generation is, "Don't invade my space." Let me tell you, grace will invade your space. It'll change you. And what happened with Peter? Jesus said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fisher of men." Let me tell you, it's the goodness of God that leads man to repentance.
Amen.
Amen. It changed Peter. Later on, Peter went back fishing. Remember at the end of Jesus' ministry? The same thing happened. And do you know what Jesus said to Peter? He said, "Come and dine with me." Praise God. You know, that's really what I have in my heart.
Amen.
For today. Come and dine with me. Are you dining with Jesus? Is it all about him? That's what Jesus said to Zacchaeus as well. Tax collector. Someone who had a bad reputation among his own people. And what did he say? "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today. I'm going to your house. I don't deserve you in my house." Jesus, just invade your space. And then he could have Jesus come in and take over your whole house. Take over your whole life. Take over your mind. Take over your heart in the grace of God. Bring change to your life. Praise God. See, here's the thing about Peter. I'll close with this morning. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Imagine walking with Jesus for 3.5 years and then denying him. Not just denying him, but denying him to his face. When he needed you the most, kind of a thing. Don't know him. And then not just I don't know him, I don't blankety blank know him. He denied him with cursing and swearing, the Bible says. And then after the resurrection, what was it? I'm going to tell my disciples and Peter. He's hurting. Called his name. He's hurting. Then in this instance, they have this catch of fish. And Jesus told them, bring all of those fish up here. But don't focus on the fish. Don't focus on everything I can do for you. Don't focus on all of the blessings. Don't focus on all of the miracles. They're there, praise God for them. Focus on the one who brings them. Amen. Focus on the one who changed your life. Focus on the one who died for you. Focus on the one who rose from the dead because he loves you. Focus on the lover of your soul. Amen. Sit down when the presence of all of these things, provision, miracles, Jesus said, come and dine with me. Just sit there. Talk with me. Amen. And then what did Jesus say? He reversed those 3 denials. And he went, feed my lambs. 1 denial gone. Feed my sheep. And feed my mature sheep. Mentor people. Help people find their destiny. Those 3 denials gone. Where did they go? In an environment of guilt and condemnation, or sitting with Jesus face to face and dining with him. I want you to know, I don't care what you've done. It's not bigger than God's grace. I don't care if you've missed it. You haven't missed his grace. Grace is the very thing that'll suck you back in and help you fulfill the plan and the purpose and the destiny of God upon your life. You cannot do it without grace because none of us are perfect. We all need the grace of God. Amen. When you miss it, don't run from him, run to him. Don't beat yourself up, run to him. Get with him. Say, Jesus, I'm here just to dine with you. I'm not asking for anything. I'm not focused on all of the fish around me. I'm focused on you. I love you. I worship you. You're so good. You just become Jesus conscious. And when you become Jesus conscious, I'm telling you, he is doing things in you, changing things in you that no one else can change, no one else can do. Amen. Praise God. And I know there's people in here this morning, you need to dine with him. Just dine with him. Yeah. Enjoy your Christian walk. Yeah. Anything that pulls you away from him is not grace. Grace will put you face to face with him. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Oh, we love you. Amen. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your grace. Thank you for goodness in our lives that we know we don't deserve, Lord. It was never us to begin with. Amen. Just let him blow after blow. Just like wave after wave. Let him come at you with his goodness. Amen. Oh, we just love you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your grace and for your goodness today, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for each person in this place, Lord God, that we understand the goodness and the grace of God. Lord, we need grace to finish. And I thank you we'll live in the grace of God. We'll stand in the grace of God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness abounding towards us. We love you and we praise you. Amen.